Not too long ago, a school sports match was just that, a match. You had the deafening war cries from the stands, the fierce rivalries, and the pure pride of putting on the school jersey. The stakes on the field felt massive, but they stayed on the field. The only people watching were the parents and pupils standing on the sidelines. Today, those school sports have morphed into a professionalized multi-million rand broadcasting juggernaut, and it's raising a heavy question. When the cameras turn on, who's really profiting off the teenagers on the pitch? Hi, I'm Tokotso Pongweni, and I'm a journalist at Daily Maverick. Last month, Hilton College headmaster George Harris warned in a letter that cameras and rankings are turning school games into stages, and we're losing the real point of the play. Theo Garin, a writer who covers school sports, told me that while the kids aren't pros, the system around them is. Coaches are paid a lot of money to win, and that pressure filters straight down to the players. Broadcasting has poured petrol on the fire. By the end of March, the SuperSport Schools app hit 1.4 million users and 19 million views. Mo Baranser, head of rugby at Western Province Preparatory School, told me that this spotlight puts a massive psychological load on these teenagers. Even well-meaning pride from parents and alumni gets amplified until it feels like suffocating expectation. Tim Jarvis, a counselor, said that with outside industries already profiting from school sports, schools are now trying to get their own piece of the pie. But he told me this reduces students to units of production with a price tag. It implies that some kids will matter more than others because they generate income, an insidious creep that robs them of the space to just be children. Earlier this year, the sheer scale of commercialization was on full display at a conference held at St. Albans College. It was literally titled School Sports Commercialization and was dedicated to unlocking the business of youth sport. The price of this event's tickets? 9,500 rand. The promotional material for the event talked about how streaming, social media, and data have transformed participation into measurable value and how schools can, and I quote, monetize what they already create. But is any of this actually legal? Belinda Matora, an expert in child rights, told me that if you look at the South African Constitution, where a child's best interests are paramount, this mass broadcasting is incredibly hard to justify. She explained that a child's image should be part of a safeguarding framework and not a commercial one. She has two main concerns: the adultification of minors for profit, and the fact that there's no real educational reason to expose kids to permanent global visibility. Belinda even broke down exactly when a student stops being a player and becomes an unpaid child entertainer. It's when broadcasts generate ad revenue, use corporate sponsorship, and market children individually without any financial protection. She warns that our school sports machine has already ticked most of those boxes. To fix this, she told me we urgently need new laws. Specifically, papaya codes designed for sports and formal child performer protections for these young athletes. The broadcasting industry is pushing back though. Tumelo Selikana from Nelson Sports told me that, if managed properly, commercializing youth sport is actually a necessity. He argues that athlete burnout comes from poor coaching and management, not just the cameras. But he did concede that kids shouldn't be unwitting donors to corporate profits. The camera lights are on, the commercial structures are set, and the broadcast numbers are only going up. It's clear that there's a booming business on the field, but at the end of the day, there is still just a teenager inside the jersey.